As you know, on the first Sabbath of the month, we continue our study into the book of Revelation, and this time we're in chapter 13. We've been examining these inset chapters of Revelation 12, 13, and 14. God provided John and also us with descriptions of several visions or signs that were various entities that we need to understand before we go further in the book of Revelation. We need to have a clear understanding of that. And as I said in the past, some commentaries refer to these as seven visions, and people break them out differently, but for our purposes, the first one is the woman clothed with the sun, which is chapter 12, 1 to 6. Then the enormous dragon, then the war between the dragon. They put the war as a separate one. Not everybody does it that way, which is the rest of chapter 12. Then we talked about the beast from the sea. We began that last week, but we didn't finish it. And then the beast from the earth, which begins in verse 11 of chapter 13. And we'll go into that one today. I don't think we'll quite finish it. And then the Lamb on Mount Zion, Revelation 14, the beginning five verses. And then the harvest of the earth is the remainder of that chapter. So let's go back to Revelation 13, where we were, and just briefly review, catch up. A lot of detail in there last time. And we had a few heads swimming, I think. hopefully not too much. But Revelation 13, verse 1, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea. This is the beast, obviously, from the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, which gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue 42 months. That's the part we covered last time, although we read a little further. So God introduced John and the rest of us to this beast. And as we know later in the chapter, we'll also read about the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. So before we can figure out those are, we need to know who the beast is. And understanding the beast enables us to understand its mark and its image. As we saw, the term beast is one of many symbols in the book of Revelation. Identify the symbols and we identify the beast. And then we also saw that the Bible interprets its own symbols. We don't have to make them up ourselves or think, well, I think it means this. And we go off on some tangent. But the Bible interprets its own symbols. We don't want man's interpretation. We want God's explanation of these symbols. And we found it in Daniel 7, where Daniel describes four great beasts that come up from the sea. And that's the same as in Revelation 13. And we focus particularly on the fourth beast in Daniel 7:7, which is dreadful and terrible. It had huge iron teeth. It's brutal. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. Nothing on earth to compare it to. And from Revelation we learned, as we saw this fourth beast, that it had lion characteristics, bear characteristics, and leopard characteristics. And Daniel said it had huge iron teeth. And I described that clearly. We went over all that. And it also, like the one in Revelation, had ten horns. And we saw that the fourth beast in Revelation is the same as the one, the fourth beast in Daniel is the same, in Daniel 7, is the same as the beast in Revelation 13. Daniel, in chapter 7, verses 15 to 18, requests an interpretation. And we went through the interpretation that Daniel was given. Many Bibles also have a marginal note on verse 23, which refers to them as kingdoms. So they're kings and kingdoms. They're synonymous, like governments. Of course, most governments have a head, but they're a government, and they can refer to either the head, the individual, or the kingdom as the same thing. In Bible prophecy, kings and kingdoms can be used interchangeably. And we noted these are the same four kingdoms that God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. And we covered that in detail last September, Daniel chapter 2. Then in Daniel chapter 7, I won't go there, but verses 23 to 24, we saw that the fourth beast is the Roman Empire. And the ten horns are ten kings, ten kingdoms or governments, which shall arise from this kingdom. And I want to emphasize that point. Those horns would arise from the Roman Empire. And God tells us the interpretation of the horns. And the ten horns arise from the Roman Empire. Roman Empire was greater and stronger than the kingdom.